All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning, Lord, for this opportunity you've given us, Lord, to study about studying your word. Lord, we ask that as we go through the material this morning, Lord, that you would help us understand how to use these tools so that we can understand your word, and not just so that we can know it better, but, Lord, that it would be useful in your hands to transform our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we might see things as you see them. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're in our third week studying topical Bibles. So we've already looked at concordances, expository dictionaries, and now we're on topical Bibles. They're going to be pretty straightforward. So if it's been intense thus far, that was intentional, but today it was going to be less intense and just a little bit more straightforward. So topical Bibles, we're going to start off with our definition by asking, what is a topical Bible? A topical Bible is an index of biblical topics, which organizes verse references under a theme or topic. Topics may have a wide range from concepts like salvation and repentance to the very narrow, with references to rope and doves. So there are some topical Bibles that have references to where, like, it describes the hand of God, the arm of God, the breath of God, the words of God, and every time those kinds of references are referenced, they'll have them all in one place. And so it's organizing them around that. Another kind of an inverted way of looking at this also, and we'll look at it here in a minute, is just what the treasury of scripture knowledge is. Actually, we'll get into that right now. So why use a topical Bible? It's pretty straightforward to explore what the Bible says on a particular topic. This is going to be a little bit broader than what you would be able to do if you were here for the concordance class and using a concordance, in that a concordance, you can look up a specific word and then find where all of Scripture has that specific word. A topical Bible is going to be a bit broader than that, because sometimes, like a topic like salvation, will have verses that don't use the word salvation in them, but what they're talking about is salvation. That's the topic they're covering. So they may use a different word, like atonement or cross or repentance, which are all maybe subcategories of the thought or topic of salvation. So to explore that, the other way is to find biblical cross references to a related topic, even if it doesn't use the same wording, kind of like what we said. So you can use it in an exploratory fashion, like if you just want to know what the Bible has to say on a particular topic, you can approach it that way. Or if you're already studying a specific passage and it's talking about, like, we've been studying John 3:16 through all of these tools, you can pick a topic out of John 3:16 and then you're kind of starting with a verse and trying to find cross references that might be helpful for John 3:16. So we're going to see how that works using topical references. There we go. So what are some topical Bibles? There are a lot. I brought a few for illustration purposes. So there are some that are arranged topically, which would make most sense with topical Bibles. But then there's another category, if you would, that kind of fits into this section as well. And those are those who are organized scripturally. So the topical and the scriptural, we'll look at the topical first because that's kind of the point of the class, this class in particular. There are two that are free online, and I thought I had them in book version, but I don't. I didn't have them. I couldn't find them, at least. So I'll just describe them to you. There's Knave's Topical Bible and Torrey's Topical Textbook. And they're both basically the same thing. They're both got publication dates from in the 1800s. So 1897, they both came out. And what they are is just they spent basically their lifetime getting together these topics and then just writing down all of the references to those specific topics. Both of these are in the public domain, which means they're free, which means that most Bible apps or Bible online Bible study sites will have them on there for free. And it's a lot easier to use them in those formats, just because the typical way these work in book form is they'll just have Bible references without the Bible verse. So you have to look up each one, whereas online they'll have the Bible reference hyperlinked. So you click on it, or you just hover over it, or they'll have it right in front of you, and you can just read the Bible references that they're giving you instead of having to look up each one to discover if it's a quality reference that you want to use or if it makes sense to you why they put that in there. So this last week I was just kind of going through it, and almost every single Bible study website that I saw had these tools on them. Also, each one of these tools are available in app form for your phone. You can find them as standalone tools. And if you're going to use your phone, I would recommend getting, and you want to use these tools, I'd recommend using them in their own app form. They're not necessarily the greatest, but they're easier to use than when they're built into other apps. So for instance, Blue Letter Bible has these built into them, but it's kind of clunky to use in the Blue Letter Bible app. But if you have them by themselves, they're easier to get to because you can just open the app and then put in the topic that you're looking for, and then they have them hyperlinked. Normally it's to the King James Version. So that's one of the reasons why it's kind of a drawback to use it there. But most online versions, you can pick the version you want to see the references in. So there's a variety of ways of accessing those. There still exist the books. You can normally get them used for super inexpensive. Again, it's in the public domain, so everybody who's anybody can get them printed for however they want to format them. I prefer the digital versions of these just because of how they're referenced. So that's the two ones that you'll find as far as most common. I have in class a graduation present from when I was in Bible college, and it's Baker's Topical Guide to the Bible. I've copied some stuff out of here for us to use in class in our You Try It time. This is based around the New International Version because instead of just giving you the references, it actually has the verses spelt out, which if you're going to have a book version, I'd recommend the one that has the verses already spelt out so you don't have to write down the reference, look it up. So if you're going to do a book version, this is the one I would recommend. It's newer. That's a good question. It's Baker, so I'm going to guess it's newer. Ooh, a little too far. 1991. This one is NIV. I don't know which versions they have out there, but we'll be using this one in our class today. Scriptural kind of does the inverse of what these do. These, you start with your topic and then you find your verses. Scriptural are keyed around the verse you're studying. So if you're looking at John 3:16, for instance, you can use Treasury of Scripture Knowledge or Thompson Chain Reference Bible. Has anybody ever heard of Thompson Chain Reference Bible before? My dad had one when I was a kid. I loved using it because it was awesome. And we have those to lesser degrees depending on how your Bible is formatted. The center column sometimes has cross references. Sometimes those are pulled from that, but a Thompson Chain Reference Bible is, in a sense, a topical Bible built into a regular Bible. So what they have are chains, if you would. When he talks about salvation, he's going to show you where your verse fits into that chain, and you'll have references going in opposite directions. But typically, in the very end of a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, they'll have the chains categorized. So for salvation, he starts in Genesis and goes all the way to Revelation and gives you all of the references he has that he's going to point you to when you're studying John 3:16. That verse is going to be in there. So it's a very awesome tool in that regard.
Quick question.
Sure.
On some of the digital tools.
Yeah.
When they reference, pick a verse. Mm-hmm.
It depends on the tool. You'll have to, like, if there's an app,
and
I'm not super familiar with that one. Well, actually, so let's do Blue Letter Bible. has for their cross references, when they're doing cross references, it's the normally if you've got the bar and you're on the website, it's the second tool down, or if you're on the app, you've hit the verse, it's the second one. So the first one's interlinear, where it's got the Greek and Hebrew, and you can use your concordance and vines in that. The second one is cross references. You'll normally see it say TSK, because the TSK stands for Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. I really like the Blue Letter Bible app for that, because it takes your Treasury of Scripture Knowledge book and then it automatically turns it to the chapter and verse, because that's how this is organized, is around chapters and verses. And the chapter and verse, it'll give you all the references, and it makes references to specific words in the verse. So it'll pick two or three words typically, and then it'll give you a listing of the references. But on the Blue Letter Bible app, what it'll do is, after it gives you all of the references, if you keep on scrolling down, it'll actually give you the verses. So you can just read them rather than have to look up each one of them individually, or even click on a link to see what it says in the app version. And even online, you can just scroll down and do that. So the Treasury, we have this one in the bookstore. And it's really good, but again, it's for free online in app form, and I think you can use it quicker that way. But if the power goes out, you can still use this. So, if you have your glasses, as you'll see in a moment, the writing is super small. But the Treasury of Scripture Knowledge wasn't written by one person or compiled by one person. It was a kind of a group effort where, basically, for each verse, they found the best, in their opinion, again, these are going to reflect personalities and opinions, the best cross-references for these verses. So instead of having to pull out your concordance and trying to find different cross-references for particular words, somebody else has already done that and wrote down, in their opinion, the best cross-references for your verse. So these tools can be helpful in finding cross-references quicker. In my opinion, as far as finding cross-references, a concordance is great. Doing a word search online can be quick. But the Treasury of Scripture Knowledge is one of my favorites. Again, it's free in a lot of digital formats. Because they've done the hard work of sorting through all of the verses, and they're kind of giving you the best of the best from their perspective. Again, it's from their perspective, but at the same time, it's normally worth looking through, and you're going to find quality references right away using like a Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. If you're starting with a verse, or if you want to explore a topic, that's where a topical Bible might be a little bit better, because they're going to point you, these are the key verses on these topics. There's more verses you can find, and using a concordance will help you find all of their other verses. But the topical Bibles and the Treasury of Scripture Knowledge, the scriptural-based references, are going to point you, in their opinion, the best cross-references, the best verses on these topics for what you're doing. So because of that, I really, my favorite out of all of these is the Treasury of Scripture Knowledge, just because it's pointing you from the scripture you're at to the scripture you should consider while studying this one. So sometimes they'll point out verses that balance the theology. Sometimes they'll point out scriptures that basically are saying the same thing over and over and over again. So you're like, okay, when Jesus said this, he was quoting from this guy over here in the Old Testament. He was quoting or referencing an Old Testament verse. I didn't realize that at the time, but now I know, because my Treasury of Scripture Knowledge pointed me in the right direction. I like them for that reason, but there's a variety out there. I have on the desk here other ones that could fall underneath the category of topical Bibles as far as reference tools. Lockyer had spent the last, I think, 40 years of his life writing books that started with the title All. So he has a handful. So this is All the Men of the Bible. This is All the Women of the Bible. This is All the Messianic Prophecies of the Bible. And in one sense, these are topical reference guides for each one. So I like the all the men and women of the Bible, just because what it does is, if you look up John, it's going to tell you not just all the places where you can find John, like a concordance will, but it'll categorize them, because not all the Johns in the Bible were the same guy. And he has done the work to sort out who is who, and then he gives you a summary of, or a synopsis of, as much of their life as he can provide. So John the Baptist is not the author of the book of John. It's a different John, and he'll give you a synopsis of their life and the verses that you can find information about their life in there. So it's a topical Bible, if you would, of just the men of the Bible. All the women of the Bible does the same exact thing with the same end in mind. Not all the women called Mary are the same woman. So knowing that while you're studying is going to be helpful in discovering who is who and where. So when you use your concordance, if you just look up Mary, you might be like, well, this is the same Mary. And it's like, no, that's this is a different Mary. That's where these tools can be helpful. But there are, I think, 20 different titles that he wrote. So he's got all of the parables of the Bible, all of the prayers of the Bible. There's a lot that he has, and they're all, in my opinion, very good. I kind of like them because he mostly sticks with just the scripture, and then he has light commentary around it just enough to where he can stitch them all together. So those technically kind of follow under that category. I didn't put them up here because they're not specifically what we're talking about, but they are helpful, and they mostly fall underneath this category out of all of our different things we could be studying. Tools-wise, I like these ones. All of the Messianic prophecies I bought because I was doing a research project when I was in high school on Messianic prophecy. I'm like, great, this is the paper that I want to write right here. Just this. No big deal. His introduction is 30 pages long. I was supposed to write a 10-page paper. So I'm like, apparently this is a big topic. So that's why I own that. It's not because it's something I would use on a regular basis or necessarily recommend to anybody in the congregation. But if you were wanting to know more about prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament that were given, and which ones were fulfilled in the New Testament and which ones still yet to be fulfilled in his second coming, great resource for that. So those are the tools. There is a variety of them out there. Again, these are the ones that are going to be the most known. These have been around for a long time, super helpful. These ones are still valid today. And in one sense, the only way that these could be updated in their quality is topics that are coming to our mind in our contemporary age that are different, which won't be too much because they were looking towards scripture to come up with the topics, not necessarily their own topics that they wanted to know more about. Others that could fit into this category are counseling scripture guides. So there are topical ones for use in counseling, but basically they're just a compendium of scriptures that address the more contemporary issues. So what does the Bible have to say about dating? Well, if you look in your concordance, you'll discover that it doesn't say the word date in the sense of how we use dating. But the Bible does speak to how we have and handle relationships. So it'll have some of those issues, interpersonal relationship issues. The scriptural guide will have that. In our bookstore, we have a scripture index for counseling, and then they have one specifically for counseling women and for counseling teens. And basically all they're doing are coming up with those contemporary issues and then cataloging scriptures that counselors have found useful when talking about those topics. So that can be helpful in your own study. It could also be helpful if you've got questions yourself or if you're counseling somebody else. Obviously, those are all going to do similar things that these tools are going to do, but they're going to use more contemporary topics as opposed to biblically generated topics. So that's our taxonomy, if you would, of Bible study tools for topical Bibles. So how do we use them? We've described two reasons why you would use them, and now we're going to explore each one in particular. It's super straightforward. It's not complex, but I had to write it out. So to explore a Bible topic, use tools that are arranged topically, right? So if you had a question on, like, what does the Bible have to say about God's love for people or in regards to salvation. That could be a topic. It's kind of specific, but that's the one we'll be looking at in a little bit. So first you would identify the key topic in your passage if you were studying a passage like John 3:16, where it's God's love for people producing salvation. So that could be a topic you can look up. Again, you'll be at the mercy of whatever topics were in the mind of the author from 1897 or 1991. So sometimes you just got to read what they have and then come up with your question after you looked at their table of contents. Look up the topic in your topical Bible. Look up the references provided. If they're not spelled out, you're going to have to write them down and then read through them. And then cite and summarize the most helpful references. Citing and summarize just means writing down the reference. So like John 3:16 talks about how God loves people. That's a citing it and summarizing it. We talked about this, I think, back with our first reference work, which was concordances. And you're not citing and summarizing all of them. You're just citing and summarizing the most helpful references. This is helpful for me because I'm forgetful. So how I take notes is notes to Austin in the future. What is future Austin going to want to remember that present Austin now knows? So how I do that is instead of just writing the reference and then I have to look up the verse again in the future, I write the reference. And what does this verse have to say about this topic that I'll want to know in the future? So maybe with John 3:16, it's this is the verse that talks about how God loves the world, and that's what has brought salvation as a possibility to all mankind. Probably a long summary. You could probably just write out the verse at that point, but maybe just God's love for people. So John 3:16, God's love for people. Now I remember kind of what's in the verse, and I can look up the verse and then see what I was seeing before, why I wrote it down. So that's why you would cite and summarize it. But writing it out helps you process it. It helps you remember it. To find biblical cross-references related to the topic you're using, you could use a scripturally arranged tool. For our class, we're going to be using these two tools. I've made copies out of each of them, and I've got some handouts here in a minute that we'll look at. You first look up your selected passage, because the ones that are arranged scripturally aren't going to be on topic. They're going to be on John 3:16. You're going to go to the exact reference. And then when you go to that reference, you're going to see what cross-references they have. So look up each reference in your Bible, which can be kind of laborious if you're using the just reference one, because then you've got to turn your Bible to each one, which is not bad, but it's going to take a bit. And then cite and summarize, again, the most helpful references. So not all references are going to be as impressive for you. You're going to be like, well, this one was more helpful, this one was less helpful. I like this one better because, and then you're going to cite and summarize which ones you have. So those are the two things we're going to be doing. And now we're going to do the You Try It, which I think is going to be its own page if you grab notes in that section. And so we'll start with this first one. We will pass this out. I have, Art, can you pass these out for me? I have copied on the copier this morning, two sections. So on this side of the page where it says John, that's John 3 out of our Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. And they have on this page John chapter 2, and then John chapter 3 starts here. And all they're doing is they're giving you the chapter and the verse, and then after that they give you the references. So if you've got your reading glasses on, you'll need them because it's super small. I came pre-qualified. John 3:16 is going to be down in the bottom corner over here. That's going to be our next step. Our column that we have on this side right here is what we're going to be doing first, and that's out of the Baker topical guide. So the topic we're looking at is salvation is grounded in God's love, and then he gives a bunch of verses. Salvation is grounded in God's love. You'll find John 3:16 in there. But he's also giving you, in his opinion, the authors of the topical guide, other verses that are on the same topic of God's salvation being grounded in God's love. So we've picked the topic. Your job now is to read through the references and then cite and summarize the best two or three out of the list that he gives. So besides our John 3:16, which is in there, find the best two or three references where, in your opinion, it clearly expresses salvation is grounded in God's love. So let's just take some time and do that. All right. Sorry to cut you short, but what did you guys find underneath the God, salvation is grounded in God's love? Anybody find a reference they want to share and how they summarized that reference? Not all at once. Yes, Mike?
Well, I have a couple here. There's not really a whole lot of summarizing because the verse kind of straightforward. I had John
right.
15:13.
Sure.
For his greatest love is laying down life. And Romans 5:8, demonstration of the love that he died for us, even though we're sinners. And then all the way down to 1 John 4:9, again, showing his love and sending his only son.
Yeah, those are all great. Anybody have something, one of the a different verse that they saw and want to share?
I liked Ephesians 2:4.
Yep. All right. How did you summarize Titus 3:4? You didn't? Okay. How would you? How would you summarize Titus 3:4?
How can you make it short?
Okay. Well, let's practice this together. Okay. So the verse says in Titus 3:4 in the NIV, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared, verse 5, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. So depending on what you wanted to, what stood out in that verse or what was significant in that verse, you could say for Titus 3, 4, and 5, he saved us not because of what we did, but because of his mercy. So that would be kind of summarizing everything. But like Mike said, sometimes it's hard to summarize. Like, it's pretty good. It's pretty good the way it said it. So if it says it well and concisely, you can just roll with it. But the way I kind of try to summarize it is, if I was going to present this verse to a friend, what title would I give this to this verse so that when they read it, they would see what I saw? It kind of depends on the context of the conversation, right? So like for Romans 5:8, where it's talking about while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. If I was talking to somebody and like, I just don't feel like I'm worthy that Christ would die for me. It's like, well, that's a good feeling. Actually, God has the same feeling about that. He didn't die for you because you were doing the right things. He died for you even while you were a sinner. So that's how I would summarize it. He died for you when you were a sinner. Let's read Romans 5:8, right? Right. So that's just a way of rephrasing it, so that way you can help either somebody else see it, or like I mentioned at the beginning, the reason why we cite and summarize is so in the future, when you read it, if you're going through your own notes, you would know what you were talking about. Because I've done this where I've gone through my old sermon notes from a few years ago, and I'm like, what the heck was I trying to say? It must have been really clear in my head, because it's not clear on paper at all. Right, yeah, it was so clear I didn't need to write it down, but if I would have taken the time, I may have been impressed with myself. Because present Austin was very confused by previous Austin. All right, the one verse I really liked was in Psalm 6, verse 4, and I put, man's request for God's salvation because of God's love, not because of our deeds. Psalm 6, verse 4, where the psalmist requests, turn, O Lord, and deliver me, save me because of your unfailing love. I like that because God's love is always unfailing. You can always make that request. It's not because I've done the right thing here. That's not a prayer you can always pray. So what he's asking for in the psalm is what God is promising in John 3:16. So it's a longing of men's heart since forever. Yes. Yeah. But what he's... Right. What he's requesting is what we can all request, but it's also not just something we are just longing for, like, oh, I just wish I had an extra $1 million. There's no John 3:16 which says, and you get $1 million. But the salvation he's asking for in that psalm is the salvation we've been promised on the same basis in John 3:16. All right. Let's take our last few minutes here to... go to this portion of the page. If you've got excellent vision, or if you've got the Blue Letter Bible app on your phone, you can actually do it quicker, and you can go through the different sections there. But look up a few references. You're not going to have time to go through all of them, but you might even notice there are some references in there that are repeated. So, for instance, it has, I believe it has Romans 5:8 in there. Yeah, it's the second reference underneath God. So it gives you a word from the verse, and then references, and then another word, and then references based around that one word, and then one last reference is the whosoever, some more references. So for the next few minutes, while we still have them, look up some references, cite and summarize what you can, if you're able to, and then we'll wrap up class. Okay, we're about a minute over, so let's go ahead and share. If you've got anything that you found, raise your hand if you were able to use the app version or an app version. Nope. Okay, so Blue Letter Bible is the way I access it normally. There's probably a standalone app for it. What I like about the Blue Letter Bible app is you can choose the version that you're studying, and it'll put it in that version. So it's kind of key to whatever you're most comfortable with. I grew up on the New King James, so that's what I have mine in. Anybody able to find another reference that they've cited and summarized, or cited and will summarize on the fly? Different than what we've already had. Okay. What did you find in Isaiah 56? Oh, okay. Well, yeah, parallel. How would you summarize the verse that you found? Understanding of, okay, so it's not just Israel serving the Lord that it has in view, but the whole world is in God's view, which would be connected to the whosoever broad. Okay, yeah, that's so God's house is a house for all peoples, which is important to peoples like me. I'm in that all peoples category. All right, anybody else find another verse? In the very short amount of time to do the very hard work of looking up references manually. I just looked up the one of the very first verses in the under the God section for 2 Corinthians 5:19. I summarized it this way. I think I just quoted part of the verse. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So just kind of underlining it was God doing the work for our salvation, but it was God working through Christ. And then the second reference I have is 1 John 4:9. God expressed his love through sending his son. So it wasn't just God told us he loved us. He demonstrated his love toward us, and he proved his love toward us with the sending of his son, which is what John 3:16 is also pointing to, but it's kind of a subcategory of that. So those are my two that I was able to do with the app. We're 5 minutes over and 10 minutes away from service starting, so let's go ahead and close in prayer, and then we'll be done with class this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning, Lord, for this opportunity you've given to us to explore your word through topical resources and scriptural indexes to see how your word interprets your word. So, Lord, we ask that the things that we've learned this morning would be helpful as we continue to grow in our knowledge of you, as we study your word on our own. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.